Turn your Bibles to Psalm number 90, please. Psalm number 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes, and as renewed, in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set your iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of life are 70. Or even by reason of strength, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I want you to turn to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Then our final reading is from Romans chapter, that's back the way a wee bit, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more of the grace of God and the free gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. There we end our reading of God's word. The title for the week of addresses that I've been asked to speak on or give is, why should I care? Why should I care? Or if you want the shorthand version, whatever. So what? If you're not a Christian and you're here because of a friend, and your attitude to God is, so what? Your attitude to what you're engaged in at this very moment in time is, whatever. Then I'm going to spin out to you today why you need to stop and you need to think about your life. If you're a Christian, but you're one who is going along with the flow, brought up in a godly home, you have some relationship with God. But the reality is that for you personally, this is just something that you do. Why should I really care? So what? I hope that this week I will challenge you that you need to move forward in your thinking and become one who really does care with all your soul and heart and mind. If you are a Christian who does care, and that probably takes in the majority of you, then in a sense this title isn't the best of titles, because when I hold my hand up and say I was party to the choosing of it, because in a sense it implies negatively that you don't care, when the reality is you are a young man and you are a young woman who really does care. But I trust, and my goal is this week as you listen to what God would say to you from His Word, that you will be encouraged in your caring about your life and the church in which God has blessed you to be part of. So if you're not a Christian, I want to look you in the eye and say, today is the day that you need to start thinking about caring. Because by the time you go to bed tonight, I trust that the hairs will be standing on the back of your neck about what you've heard about your life and your future. And if you're a Christian who's saying, well, I'm just going along with the flow, then I trust by the end of this week you'll not be going along with the flow. You'll say, I must walk in the ways of Christ. And if you're one who is seriously walking in the ways of Christ now, I hope that you'll be merely confirmed in the reasons why you're doing that. Why should I care about my life? Well, there are two reasons why you need to think about your life. First is, surprisingly, you only have one life. You only have one life. And it's an incredibly short life. And it's a life that means you stand perilously close to eternity. And the second reason why you need to care is because your eternal destination will be decided during this one short life that you have. You only have one life to live. How many of you got up this morning thinking about the fact that you're going to die? As you ate your sausages and pancakes, how many of you engaged in a conversation about death? Hands up. Let's see it. Nobody sat this morning and talked about their death. Did anybody talk about death in general? You mean
Nobody at breakfast talked about death this morning.
Well, that's not a surprise. There's a reason, or a number of reasons, why that's the case. First, we have a strong inner sense of life. When God created us, that wisest of all wise men, Solomon, tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, that God placed or put eternity in our hearts. We were made to live. Did you know that death was not on the agenda when God made us? It wasn't part of what God made us to do. We do not die because God made us to die. We die because in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Adam took of that which God said, do not take, or you will die. And in partaking of that of which God said, do not take, he then received the punishment of death. And because he is our federal head, he is at the top of the triangle of all mankind, what he did and what happened to him has an implication for each one of us. That's not fair, Andrew. That's the way it is, Andrew. He ate, he died, we are in Adam, we die. Another reason why we don't think about death all that much is because of the daily issues of our lives. We're too busy living. Your life has been too full of school, college, work up until Friday. Your life is full of the senior camp today. Your life will be full of what next week? Too busy living to think about death. And the third reason why I think death isn't that high up in our thinking is because it's just a fact of life. When it does come close to us, whether through the passing of a loved one or of a friend, well, it's part and parcel of life. Certainly our lives are affected for a few hours, but after that, we just get up and get on with it. We were made to live. Our mindset is to live. We are too busy living to think about death. And when we are encountered with death, it's a fairly transitory experience. It hits us for a day or two, and then it passes on, because we were designed to live, and we are too busy living. So it's fair to say that thinking about death in a particular our own death is not really a great priority in our lives. But the fact is that death is actually closer to us than what we want to think it is. Our lives are extremely brief. And you and I stand perilously close to eternity. Psalm 90. What does God say about himself in Psalm 90? You need to look it up. Psalm 90. In Psalm 90, God contrasts the beginning contrasts his eternal being with the brevity of man. Look at the first two verses. What does God say about himself? God says that he is the one who has seen all generations of man. Because before the earth was created, God was there. He was from everlasting to everlasting. There never has been, there never will be a time when God does not exist. In terms of God and time, he says in verse 3, 1,000 years are but yesterday. Can you remember what you did yesterday? If I asked you to explain to me what you did yesterday, you'd probably take 10 or 15 seconds to do that.
10 or 15 seconds to sum up 24 hours in your life. Well, for God, 1,000 years can be summed up in a sentence, a few seconds. By contrast, what do we read about man? First thing is, man is not eternal. He has a beginning. He was made. Man has an end. He will return to dust, the dust from which he came. The second thing is, we see, is that life is extremely brief. God uses three metaphors to describe and underscore the brevity of man's life. He says, we are swept away, verse 5, as a flood. We are like a dream that passes by. We are like grass that is renewed in the morning, that flourishes and then withers in the evening. The floods that have swept through England this past week, they come and they go. They make a lot of damage when they're there, but they come and they go. The dream that comes and is so vivid and real when we're living it, you've been in that experience where you've lived a dream, in the sense of you wakened up and you expect to actually see the person who you're thinking about there in front of you, it's gone in an instant. The grass that grows in the hot, dry, arid climates and countries of this world, the grass grows up in the morning, springs up, but with the sun and the heat of the day, it's burnt to a frazzle, it dies away. Three metaphors that God uses describe our lives. Real, vibrant, colourful, strong, bold, but brief. Yes, he says, we will have 70 years, verse 10. Or by reason of strength, 80. Seems a long time when you're 5 or even 25. Believe you me, if you ask someone who is 70 what they have made of their life, and they will say, it has gone just like a whisper. It's gone. It's gone. You ask them to sum up 70 years of their life, and they'll take half an hour. Our lives are really extremely and extraordinarily brief. The days of our lives become weeks. The weeks become months. The months become years. The years become decades. And before you know it, you'll be 40. You'll be 43 like me. You'll be looking at people at camp, and you'll be saying, I knew his mommy. I was going to say, I kissed his mommy. But I thought, I better not say that. Let's rewind that. I knew his mommy. I kicked the shins of his daddy. Life is extremely brief. You'll meet me in 20 years' time. You'll have 3-4 children. I'll have a lot more grey hair. I may at that stage learnt to bring the same pair of shoes to a conference. But life is gone. And we stand perilously close to eternity. Again, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes concerning the need for us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. He says in chapter 12, before the silver cord is snapped, the golden bowl is broken, the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, the wheel broken at the cistern, the dust returns to earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Metaphors which speak of what? Are being thrust into eternity. The silver cord snapped, the golden bowl broken, the picture shattered, the wheel broken. Do you understand that you are on the brink of eternity? You think you're young, you think you're vibrant, you think you're energetic, you have the whole of your life ahead of you. You are young, you are energetic, you are vibrant. I give thanks to God for that fact in your life. But that does not change the fact
that you, regardless of what age you are, you stand perilously close to eternity. You cannot guarantee me that you will see this day out. You cannot guarantee me that you will see tomorrow. Anybody who can guarantee me that they will see me tomorrow, put their hand up. Come on, put your hand up. You can't. Because you see, the breath in your body has been given to you by God. The heart that's pumping in your body, God is pumping that by His creative power. We can will that we will be here tomorrow. And by God's grace and God's mercy, we will all be here by the end of the week. And by God's grace and God's mercy, we will be all alive in 30, 40 years' time. But none of us, not one of us, can guarantee that as a reality. You, I, stand perilously close to eternity. None of us can tell the day nor the hour when this brief existence of ours on this earth will end. Now, why is that important? Why is it important for me to remind you of the brevity of your life? Why is it important for me to remind you of the fact that your life on this earth is held by a thread, a silver thread? Why is it important? Why should you care? Why, unbelieving individual this morning, why should you care? Why, Christian who is going along with the flow, should you care? Why, Christian who loves the Lord with all your heart, soul and mind, why should you care? Well, the reason why you should care is because eternity is real. Eternity is not a figment of my imagination. It is not a figment of theologians' imaginations. Eternity is a truth that is revealed in the Word of God. God is from everlasting to everlasting. We return to the dust from whence we came. And the second thing about eternity is, it's not only real, it lasts a long time. In fact, do you want to know how long eternity lasts? Come closer and let you into a wee secret. It lasts forever and ever. It's not like your life. Not 70 or 80 years. That's nothing. That's like 1,000 years in the sight of God. 1,000 years is nothing in the sight of God. What was happening 1,000 years ago in the world? 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was walking the face of the earth. That's nothing in the sight of God, because God is an eternity. He is an eternal being. One day, 1,000 years will mean nothing to you, because you too will be in eternity. It's real and it lasts forever. Never's going to end. Your eternal destination, and this is why you should care, your eternal destination will be determined before you die. Now, you don't know if you're going to see tomorrow. Because when I asked you who would guarantee that they would see me tomorrow morning, none of you put up your hand. So you've all admitted to me that you do not have control over your life. That is, in the sense of the duration, not what you do in your life. Now, granted that point, that you do not have control over how long you're going to live, and granted the point that eternity is real, and granted the point that eternity is forever, and granted that the point is that your eternal destination will be determined prior to your death, then maybe, it would be good for you, unbeliever in Jesus Christ, to listen. In fact, it may not only be good for you, I would ask you, with all the love that I can muster, to listen. You need to listen now. All right? Let's make an agreement. If you listen to what I have to say in the next 15 minutes, and you listen to what I have to say tonight, unbeliever, you don't have to listen to me the rest of this week. You listen to what I have to say in the next 10 minutes, and what I have to say tonight, and you don't have to listen to me again, unless God changes your heart, your soul, and mind. All right? Your life is short. It's brief. It's held by a thread. You will be in eternity before you know it. Your eternal destination will be decided before you die. But let me tell you about your position before God today as an unbeliever in Jesus Christ. The moment you die, your soul will depart your body and it will go to the place where it will reside for all eternity. Your body will be laid in the ground. On the day that Jesus Christ returns, and he is coming back, he's not coming back as a baby. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's coming back to rule visibly over all that he has made. When he returns, the day of which is not known except to God the Father alone, your body will be raised with everybody's body. Your soul will be reunited with your body. You will stand before God, and God will declare on you your eternal verdict concerning where you will spend all eternity. But it will not be a new verdict, because you will have already spent time in that place by virtue of your soul. It will be a public manifestation of why God is right to send you to that eternal destination. It is not a trial. It is not the declaration of a verdict. The decision has already been taken. On that day, everyone will know that you're standing there and that you're going to your eternal destination because of who you are and what you have done. Now let me tell you what that verdict will be. You don't need to wait until that day. If you've come here this week and you do not believe in Jesus Christ, I can reveal to you this morning the truth concerning your position before God. It's not a secret. I'm not exceptionally brilliant and able to do it. But I can tell you the truth because God has revealed it in His Word. You open up your Bible with me now. If it's not your Bible, you borrow the Bible of the person beside you. You get that Bible off the person sitting beside you and say, I need to look at this because this is about my eternity. All right? Don't care if you look at the Bible the rest of the week. You need to look at the Bible this morning. In Ephesians, if you're not sure where to look, go to the front and look it up. All right? It's in there. You'll find it in the New Testament. We're not playing games here this morning. We're dealing with eternal realities. Ephesians chapter 2. This is why you should care. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. God says that you are dead. God says that you are spiritually dead. And the reason why you're spiritually dead is because of your descendancy from Adam. If you can hold your hand in there at Ephesians chapter 3, and you can turn over to Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin. Verse 12. Verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, you stand before God today condemned. You stand before God today condemned. That is not a future promise. That's a present reality. As you sit today in this building, you sit before God today and you are condemned. You don't need to wait to the day of judgment. You know now. Because God's told you that you're condemned. You're condemned because of who you are in Adam. Because you're condemned, you have no hope of having eternal life in Jesus Christ. Because condemnation means that you're condemned to be separate from God for all eternity. You were born dead in your trespasses and sins. You were conceived in guiltiness and sin. Not through the act of sexual intercourse, but because through the act of sexual intercourse, that conception took place, which connects you back to Adam, who was the first man who sinned against God, and the sin against God affects you. And because he sinned, you're affected. You stand condemned. You were born dead. You're actually not alive today spiritually. You're physically here. You may have opened your mouth and we sang together. You may be able to read this truth. But you're not spiritually alive. You're actually one of what I call the walking dead. Because you're not walking in the ways of righteousness. You're not walking in the ways of light. You're walking in the ways of darkness and you're walking in the ways of ignorance. You're walking as one who is dead. The world you're living in is not a real world. You're living in a world that's marked by futility, darkness and ignorance. You have no hope because you're without God in the world today. That's why you should care. Because your life is brief and you don't know whether you're going to see tomorrow. You don't even know if you're going to hear the end of that bell tolling. Can't guarantee me that, can you? Or you've lived that one through. It's a sign of God's mercy. It's a sign of God's mercy that He allowed you to hear that bell toll. Don't you take that mercy and run with it and think that you will decide when you want to decide. Because you're condemned. And as a condemned sinner, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And Paul says in writing to the Ephesians that you live according to the dictates and the dominion of sin and Satan. He says you carry out the desires of the body and the mind. God says your mind is hostile to Him. God says that your heart is at enmity towards Him. God says you have no love for Him at all. You are dead. And if you think that you can hang on and you can decide when you're going to start caring, then hear this, you cannot. Have you ever seen a dead person? I occasionally see dead people in my job. Dead people cannot get out of their beds. Dead people cannot muster themselves to life again. You are surrounded by people who are alive, but you are dead. And you cannot make yourself alive. You haven't the power. You haven't the ability. You haven't the will. You haven't the desire. Just as everyone in this room this morning was born dead, and not one person in this room this morning had the power, had the will, had the desire, or the ability to make them alive in Jesus Christ. Those who are alive in this room this morning are only alive because God in His mercy having loved them before the creation of the world, by the power of the Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, called them by the dynamite of that gospel. He renewed their mind, he regenerated their heart, and he brought them from death to life. Shall see that tomorrow morning. When you were still dead in your trespasses and sins, those who were dead, he made alive in Jesus Christ. And you're dead this morning in your trespasses and sins, and you're living a life that is marked by the dominion of sin and Satan. You are without hope, and you are without God in the world, and you are doomed by nature to be an object of the wrath of God. And I'm going to tell you tonight what that means for your life. That's why I want you to listen now and tonight, because I'm going to acquaint you through the Word of God with the reality of the eternity that you're going to spend. You don't need to worry about it in the sense of, I don't know what's going to happen. Because you come tonight and I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen to you. Now you don't care. You don't care when you're dead. You don't care when you're living under the dominion of sin and Satan. You don't care, and you're subject to the wrath of God for all eternity. And you can't tell me you're going to live tomorrow morning. You're without hope and without God in the world. And your eternal destination has already been decreed. You stand condemned. And you don't care. You don't care. What are you thinking at this moment in time? Huh? What's the Spirit of God saying to you? What's He saying to you? What's He saying to your mind? What's He saying to your heart? Is it time to start caring? Is it time to start caring? Those of you who believe, are you praying? Are you praying? Our lives are extremely short. We stand on the brink of eternity. You'll be ushered into that eternity as one who has been condemned to eternal destruction, or as one who has been made alive in Jesus Christ. There's no middle road. Each one of us was born dead. Each one of us was living in sin, giving ourselves to the reality of that. And each one of us was by nature an object of God's wrath. Is that where you are this morning? Under the wrath of God. What did we sing? What was it we sang in Psalm? Was it Psalm 90? About the wrath of God? Who fears your fury as he should? Who fears your fury as he should? Do you care? Maybe you should start thinking about it. This could be a great day in your life. This could be a day when you could meet God. This could be a day when your short life could change. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. because you know not what a day will bring forth. Do not lose it. Amen. Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you, Father, that you have revealed your truth to us concerning who we are. You've left us not in ignorance. You've left us, Lord God, with clear truth concerning our position, our status before God. We thank you, Father, that you have been merciful to us. You have not poured your wrath upon us in fury, as you should, but you give us time, Lord God. We pray, Father, that you would enable us to care about our lives in the shadow of eternity, as it is real and imposing. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.